Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. I almost forgot where it was going. I am joined tonight by author Amy Catapan. We're going to talk about her new book, Sweet Jesus, Is It June Yet? And you got to say it that way, right, Amy?
Yes.
Sweet Jesus. Is It June Yet? 10 Ways the Gospels Can Help You Combat Teacher Burnout and Rediscover Your Passion for Teaching. And I was excited to spend time with Amy talking about this because I used to be a teacher. So I understand that little bit of burnout. So Amy, welcome, and tell us, how did Sweet Jesus come to be?
Well, thank you for having me on, Allison. Well, you know, a lot of us who write nonfiction, we write out of necessity, right? We write the book we want to read or need to read. Yeah. And I got to a point, oh my goodness, it's almost 4 years ago now, was spring break of 2018. And I was in the middle of working on my doctorate in education. At the same time, I was teaching full time. And as you can imagine, teaching full time and working on a doctorate, just a wee bit of burnout. And I decided I wanted to go on retreat for spring break. I'm like, I need to get away. I'm going to go to a Jesuit retreat house. I'm going to do one of those like 5-day silent retreats and just like sit in the quiet, right?
Nice.
Right. So I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And like a week or so beforehand, I sat down to just like my regular prayer after school. That's kind of my usual prayer time. You know, I have some morning prayer and stuff like that, but my quiet prayer time is usually after school and decompress. And I sat down, I thought, okay, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do in the retreat that's coming up, but you know, if you've got something you want me to do, or trying to figure out what, like, should I even continue my doctoral program? I was at that point. And then I was like, as you know, Allison, I've got a couple novels out for young people. And I was like, should I be writing more novels? What should I be doing? Like, I was kind of burned out and at a loss what to do. And just right away, very early in the prayer, I just had this idea kind of fall into my head, as I think the Holy Spirit sometimes likes to just drop them.
It does.
It's like air bomb them. dive bomb. That's what I'm looking for. And the idea was write a book for teachers about teaching like Jesus. And I thought, okay, well, that's interesting, right? Because like I used to teach religion in Catholic schools. I don't anymore. And I just said, well, what does that even mean? And I thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to look at how Jesus could be an example for teachers. So I thought, okay, well, that's a game plan for the retreat. I'll take with me my little book of the Gospels, and I'll read through Mark, because he's the shortest, so why not, you know. I can get through that in 5 days on a silent retreat. I'll read through Mark slowly and prayerfully on retreat and just see what I come up with. And I was finding all these things as I was reading through the Gospel of Mark that just, I thought, well, this reminds me of this story from my teaching career. This reminds me of that thing from my teaching career, or why I got into teaching. And I was making all these connections and I was jotting down notes, so that by the time I got to the end of the 5-day silent retreat, I had written all these like key ideas on scraps of paper. In fact, I went and looked at my phone yesterday because I'm getting ready to do a retreat for principals, and I was looking for some photos I could share. And I actually found a picture I'd taken in that retreat house where I had the little slips of paper on the table in the library in the retreat house, and I was rearranging them to be like in chapters, like these ideas go together. So this will be a chapter. So I basically had a really rough outline by the end of the retreat. And I thought, okay, well, we'll see what happens with this. And long story short, I brought it to Ave Maria Press because they were asking if I had any ideas. And so I shared this with them, and they said, well, we like it, but you know, tell us your why. Like, you have to write an intro saying, you know, why is this book needed? And that's where like the burnout part came out. I was like, why? Why do we need this book? Because we're burned out, right? That's why we need inspiration to keep going. And they said, well, that's it. That's your hook. And so then the whole thing, it just got shifted a little bit. I had to take all my ideas and look at them and say, okay, how do we look at this, and how do we use it as a way to combat burnout?
Well, and that's such an easy thing for teachers to happen. As I said, I was a teacher for 15 years. I had my own daycare that turned into a preschool. And when I brought my daughter home from China, I kind of discerned that I wanted her to have all my attention because she'd been in an orphanage. She'd already shared enough. She'd already shared enough. I wanted her to have me all to herself. And I was telling you before we went live, just kind of joking, that I did preschool. So when I found myself unable to get on the floor and get back up again, I knew it was time to leave, leave that field. But I really did love it. And it wasn't so much the teaching part.
Yeah.
It's all that goes with it. The preparation, the staying on top of what's new in education, dealing with mm-hmm. parents, dealing with special needs, and making sure all your children, all the different ways that they learn are all being met. And I don't know if people who aren't teachers realize how much work and energy. And it's not just, everyone says, oh, you're so lucky, you only work, you know, 9 months a year. And then thinking, do you know, if you added up all the hours, like, a teacher does not leave at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and say bye class. There's so much. Like, so what grade do you teach in? Do you, you know, find that you see that with other teachers, that it's just, it's hard. It's a grind.
Absolutely. I teach sixth grade. I started off as a high school teacher, and I've taught as young as fifth grade. So most of my career has really been in like the sixth, seventh, eighth grade range. But your intro to this question here actually reminded me of a meme I saw recently. It said something like, thinking teachers only work from like 8 to 3:30 is like thinking a quarterback only works for a few hours on a Sunday. Like, do you not realize all the prep work that went in before that game? Like, do you not realize all the prep work that goes in before I teach a class, then the grading I do after class, and then have to prep again for the next day? Like, yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, when I was studying to be a teacher during my bachelor's degree, one of my classmates found an article that had done some research study that said if you added up all the hours teachers work just doing during the school year, it would equal more than 40 hours a week for the whole year. Like, teachers put in more hours during the school year than somebody who works a normal, like, 9 to 5, 40-hour-a-week job. And I know, I started keeping track at one point, and I was easily putting in 50, 60 hours a week teaching. And, you know, and then we have to also, people forget, we have to stay on top of our certification or our licensure. So we have to take classes on top of teaching classes. And so that's like an extra workload on top of it. So yeah, there is all those extra burdens. As you mentioned, you know, working with parents can be wonderful, but sometimes working with parents is challenging. Not every kid has a great home life. And to hear stories that just break your heart sometimes. And then it makes sense then why these kids are coming in. And, you know, like, kind of like you said with your daughter who's adopted, you know, they just need some loving, because where they're coming from is rough.
And I think that's another part of it. Like, people go into teaching because they love children.
Yeah.
And you get invested, so invested in the children. And when they're having a problem, it's something you take home. It's not like you work with nuts and bolts. You work with flesh and blood and bones and people with little hearts and those little faces that look up at you. And so I like in your book that you kind of look at it as a calling, and you ask the teachers to remember to go back. And I think that's true about any profession. If you're starting to get burnt out, you need to remember why you went there. Why did you choose this? What drew you to it? Because I think that's kind of what keeps you there. Is that kind of what you were thinking with that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so easy to get bogged down in all the extra work, all the emails you have to respond to, the paperwork to take care of, all the legal things that have to go on in school, you know, all that kind of stuff, that we do forget why we went into it. And sometimes, especially when it's a really hard day, you have to go, okay, why am I here? What's the important thing, right? You have to kind of like take a step back and say, okay, I'm here for the kids. This is it. And the other things I will take care of, but you have to keep your focus, right? Just like in our prayer lives too, right? Like we can get bogged down in the nitty gritty, I think, in our prayer lives, but it's like, well, Jesus, like let's know what's important. Are you spending time with Jesus, right? Like people are like, did I not say the novena on the right days at the right? Did you spend time with Jesus?
I get that question all the time because I share a lot about novenas and different devotions. It's just where my heart is at. I love sacramentals. I love devotions. In fact, my new book also coming out with Ave Maria in the fall is about sacramentals. And people will say, did I do this right? Is this the right prayer? You can't Jesus wrong. He is a teacher, but he's not the type that is, you know, with his red pen making sure that, you know, you followed all the rules.
Yeah.
He just wants you. Mm-hmm. And I guess that reminds me, like, so people lean on me on how to make sure that's part of my role and my profession is to make sure is to help people do their faith. I don't want to say right, but you know, just to be there to support them. So for teachers, and I know you talk about this in the book, Sweet Jesus, Is It Junior? Again, we're talking today with Amy Catapan. What do you talk about leaning on others? Like, do you need to be an island in of yourself, or are teachers kind of a tight-knit community, do you find?
So yeah, another one of the challenges of teaching is we are isolated a lot, right? Some teachers have an aide that might be in there depending on their population, but many of us are in there alone. And so, sometimes we get out of our classrooms at the end of the school day and we're just like, I need adult conversation. I love the kids, but I need some adult conversation. Can somebody just talk to me for a few minutes?
That's funny.
One of the things I talk about is we do need our professional learning communities, right? Whether that's somebody you're working with at school, whether it's a somebody who works at your grade level or in your department or something, whether that's a community online that you're working with. I know there's a group of Catholic school teachers who get together on Saturdays and they chat on Twitter every other Saturday. You know, and a lot of people say, this is the best professional learning community I have. It's right here on Twitter, right? And Jesus is our role model for that, right? He gathered 12 apostles, right? And then when he sent them out, he would send them out two by two. He didn't send them out alone. He knows we need each other, right? So that's our model for us as well.
I mean, Jesus, our God is a God of community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're not singular. So of course, it makes sense that when we go into community, that's where we find that we're our best. I love that that the marketing that Ave sent me says, Catapan offers Jesus as a model to reignite inspiration in the classroom. How is that, Amy?
How is that? Well, I think that's an excellent question. Read the whole book.
I'm just kidding. Just pick up Sweet Jesus Is a Junior and you will have your answer. It's so cute. I love the fact that it looks like a chalkboard. That's blackboard. I'm like, no, it's green.
It's green.
So if you're listening to the podcast and not looking, both Amy and I are holding up the book and it looks like a old fashioned green chalkboard with chalk. It was a brilliant cover. Sorry, I interrupted your answer to my question.
This is what the classroom looked like when I started teaching, and now everything is projected on a screen and we have whiteboards. That's okay. This is still it's very nostalgic. So how does Jesus ignite our passion again? I think it has to do a lot with just looking at how he taught the apostles and using that as sort of a role model, right? Even just like the way he first introduced himself, right? I talked about in the book about when he called them, he went to where they were, right? So Matthew was a tax collector. How does he call Matthew? Well, he goes to Matthew's tax collecting booth and says, follow me, right? He goes to him. When he wants to call some fishermen, he goes to the seashore and he calls them straight out of their boats, you know, Simon, Andrew, right? He goes to them. And so just like God meets us where we are, we got to do the same thing with our students, you know, figure out what are their passions? What are their interests? And use that in our lessons, right? If I know I've got a student who's really big in basketball and it's time to make a how-to essay or a how-to video, I'm going to say, hey, you know what? I hear you are a great, you know, free throw shooter or something, right? How about you tell us how to do that, right? get them involved because they're like, I don't want to write about how to make blueberry pancakes. Well, if you don't like blueberry pancakes, don't tell me about how to write blueberry pancakes, right? And another kid will say, well, but I do like blueberry pancakes. I'm like, well, then you're going to write the essay about how to make blueberry pancakes. It's finding what they're interested in, getting to know them. You know, there's the buzz phrase in education of culturally relevant pedagogy, which is really kind of just a fancy way of saying, get to know your students, right? Get to know them and then use that as your springboard for your lessons.
Because we know that, you know, children learn visually, they learn kinesthetically with their hands and motion, and they learn audibly and different variations of that. And I love the fact, one of the things I learned when I was an educator, that how I learned as a child is still how I learn today as adult. How I educate, like how I take in information is how I'm educated, is how I'll always be educated. And I think that I think until I learned that as a teacher, to be honest with you, Amy, I thought everybody learned exactly the way I did. I thought I need to read things, I need to see them, and that's how I learn. So I was always giving visual content, and it was exhausting because you're putting all this work in and the kids still weren't getting it. And you would think, well, isn't it more exhausting when you have to now figure out how to have hands-on and how you have to add the auditory? But it's not, because it becomes rewarding. Yes. And when something is rewarding and you're seeing the benefits of your hard work, I don't believe that it feels like work. And I feel like it's less draining. I don't know if you've had that experience at all.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I talk in the book about something I read during my doctoral program that says one of the biggest frustrations of teaching is that teachers don't always feel like they are making an impact, right? What keeps people in teaching is when they feel like they are having an impact, right? And they're feeling like, oh, okay, I'm doing something good here. And what's really hard is we don't always see that impact right away. Like if you're blessed to teach in a school that's many grade levels, you know, like, you know, the Catholic schools, the pre-K through eight, sometimes you do get to see it, because if you teach in the younger grades and then you see them when they're in middle school, junior high level, and you're like, oh my, look at them. Look at how they've grown, right? Even for me as a sixth grade teacher, sometimes I can see seventh and eighth grade. I hear from their teachers, and it's wonderful to hear how the kids have grown and how they've taken things in. But it's hard because we plant the little mustard seed and we don't always see the fruit of it, right? We don't see the full grown tree. We don't see the fruit that it produces. So it's looking for those ways that we can feel like we are having an impact that I think are also crucial to avoiding that burnout.
I taught so long ago that my first students are now working post-college, going off to college. And that is kind of rewarding as well, seeing that they had 12 other teachers after me, but to be a part of a little small part of that, getting it, you know, interested in school as a preschool teacher and getting them rolling. It does. It makes you feel good when you get invitations to these children's high school graduations, when you literally had them 12 years ago, it makes you feel good that they're still part of their thoughts and they still think of you. I think, I know I still see my kindergarten teacher and I still get all excited when I see her because she has just such an impact. And I'm sure you still have students who see you that maybe you had a few years ago and they get excited to see you. They have lots of things to tell you. And I think that also makes you, it just helps you know that you're doing what God has created you for. Yeah. And I also like that you included in the book one of my favorite songs, Matt Maher. You had me at Matt Maher. I got to see him. I got to see him live a few months ago, and it was really neat to be in the same room with him again.
He's amazing. Just
such a talented musician, and of course his song "Your Grace Is Enough" is like the first one most people get it hear of him, and I, you know, been singing it for 20 years now. So what does grace have to do with avoiding burnout as a teacher?
So I think there's something in, well, my word of the year, I don't know if you do a word of the year.
I certainly do.
Okay. My word of the year this year is surrender. Like I'm just surrendering everything over to him. And I think when we get to a point where we realize we're not in control and we're willing to surrender that over and let God's grace be enough to fill in, right? And be like, all right, Lord, I'm showing up, right? It's a joke around my school right now. Hashtag show up. Like sometimes that's the best we can do, right? In these hard times, just hashtag just show up. Right. And so we show up, we do our job, and we let God do the rest. Because we don't know what else is going on in our students' lives. All we can do is bring our loaves and our fish, right? And let him multiply them, right? That's where the grace comes in. We show up with what we have, with the talents and the gifts God gave us, and he takes them and he multiplies them. That's where grace comes in. And I think we have to sometimes just let it go, right? Surrender it over and say, here's my offering, Lord, take and receive. There's that great prayer by St. Ignatius of Loyola, you know, take, Lord, and receive my, you know, all my liberty, my wants, my desires, everything, right? Like, here it is, Lord, I'm offering up. This is my work as a teacher, and I'm leaving it to you to take it from here.
Because nobody multiplies the our gifts like God. Like, he gave them to us, and when we give them back, he's never outdone in generosity. So he multiplies those gifts, and he gives them back to us, and really is... his grace is enough, and it's sufficient, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
They should write a song about that. Amazing grace. Before we wrap up, though, I would be remiss. We share something in common. I don't know if you know this or not, but I, too, am the Chosen junkie.
Oh,
the TV series. Yes. Absolutely love the Chosen. And one of the things, when we think of it, we mentioned Matthew being called by Jesus. I don't think there's any better depiction of what it could have been than in The Chosen. I love that episode when Jesus calls Matthew. It's just phenomenal. If you're listening and you haven't watched this yet, I cannot recommend checking out The Chosen series enough. It's just
stop what you're doing as soon as you're done with this podcast. Go download the app. It's free, everybody.
It's free. And you'll be blessing it forward like the rest of us. But I wanted to mention before we ended that because Lent, believe it or not, it's about 6 weeks away. You did something super special with The Chosen and Lent. And I downloaded it last year and I really loved it. I'd love to give you a minute just to talk and share what it is you did.
Thanks. Yeah. So I created a little Lenten study guide to go with the first season of The Chosen. So if you haven't watched it or if you want to rewatch it before season 3 comes out later this year, you can go to my website. I've got links on there where you can get this Lenten study guide. And I did it with my little faith sharing community. So I have a faith sharing community through my church. We've been together just for a long time, and we call it Lentathon because we really only get together during Lent, and so we tried to do it during other times of the year, and like we just can't make the commitment. So we're like, well, Lent, we'll just do it during Lent, and we'll call it Lentathon. So we did it, and you have to watch one or two episodes a week, and then I even made like Google slides that people can download as well, and they can put those up and go through it. And there's little scenes that they can watch and discuss, but generally we like watch the episode first. And then I have prayers in there and discussion points. And you read the gospel passages that go with the scenes from The Chosen. And I just kind of put a Lent slant to it to kind of give it a little bit of a focus for what you're thinking about and discussing while you're going through season one.
Well, I thought it was fantastic. And I wanted to make sure people, if they're looking for something different to do during Lent, we watched the series one with our parish. We called it Cinema Divina. I did not make that up. I think I stole it from the Daughters of St. Paul.
Yeah.
And it's it's spiritual watching. And so we would watch the episode together and then have just a small group discussion. And you know, sometimes that's easy for people to lead and other times they need direction. So your Lenten study guide for The Chosen, I just thought was really well done and needed to be discussed. For Lent, we're actually going to do stations and watch season 2.
Ooh, cool.
Because they loved it so much.
Yeah.
That they wanted to do it again. And I found watching it with other people that I saw things I missed the first time, which is what I feel like when we read, the same thing's happening. So to go quickly back to Sweet Jesus, Is It June Yet? This new book out from Ave Maria Press, Amy Catapan, is I was thinking, but what a wonderful way for teachers to get together and discuss, you know, having a teacher's book club, you know, once a week after school, with your book. I think that would be a fabulous way to build that community, to build that, especially this, you know,
yeah,
I can't imagine how exhausted you all are. I know many of my friends who are teachers are happy to be back in person, but it's not much easier than it was.
There's new challenges this year. It's different.
Yes. And hopefully someday it will stop being different.
Right. We just go back to normal. But there are schools. In fact, I've already heard from one school not too far from me. The assistant principal reached out and said, hey, we're reading Sweet Jesus, and every month we meet, and two teachers lead the discussion when we meet. So, it's like, again, one of those things. Writing a book is kind of like teaching. You plant your seed, and then you hope some fruit grow.
Well, I love small groups. I mean, that's how I grew in my faith, and I can't think of a better way for a group of teachers to come together than through your wonderful book. We've been talking with Amy Cadogan. Sweet Jesus, is it June yet? Amy, how can we get a hold of the book, and how can we keep following you and all the wonderful things you do?
Sure. Well, the book is available on AveMariaPress.com, as well as all your major online booksellers. And you can find me online at ajcatapan.com, because my pen name for my young adult books is AJ Cadogan. So I'm everywhere on social media, Instagram probably most of the time, but you can check out my website as well, ajcatapan.com.
And I'll have all those links in the notes. Amy, thank you so much for spending this time with me.
Thank you for having me on, Allison.
You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. God bless.